For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, the following is a special sneak preview of the new Gloves Off podcast, which is an unfiltered look at the week's events in goalkeeping that's hosted by world-renowned GK analysts Bill Reno and Saskia Weber. And if you want to make sure that you never miss an episode of any of our fantastic new shows, all you have to do is subscribe to the Union GK app. For more info, go to www.theuniongk.com or download the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making Gloves Off possible, and on with the show.
All right, welcome back to Gloves Off. This is episode 3, and where, Saskia? Saskia, where are we? Where's Saskia go?
I am definitely not Saskia, that is for sure.
This is the 1999 rec league backup goalkeeper Michael Madgett. Is that where were we in 1999, Michael? Where were we?
In 1999, I was in college. I was getting I was getting ready to transfer to a bigger school, but I got an opportunity to go overseas and fail miserably at a youth academy overseas. So I learned really quickly, there's a big difference between playing college soccer and professional soccer. Is there not, Bill Reno?
Oh yeah, that is I feel like that's the story of a lot of American players just in general, of like you're feeling good and then you go step into a bigger pond and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, you're kind of wide-eyed. So I remember hearing the story of this guy who he was my age and he was coming out of Colorado, set all the high school scoring records. And then he got to college and he said it was like waking up from a bad dream. And then he didn't know people could be better than him, but he was in the small bubble. So, that's unfortunately a little too relatable, story. But we're lucky to have you. Saskia's out today. But we are, going to have we're still running Gloves Off here. Nothing's going to stop us. And Michael's going to fill in admirably. So we appreciate the time, Michael. Thank you.
I mean, honestly, man, I'm excited to be on here. I'm excited to talk some NWSL, obviously talk about some international keepers, you know, coming into the league and everything. My favorite thing though, Bill, is when Saskia wasn't available and I was like, I could step in if you want. And you're like, not to take this, in a derogatory manner, Michael, but how much NWSL do you know? And you know, honestly, Bill, that's a valid point because there's a lot of pundits out there who don't follow the league. And you know, every once in a while, you know, you'll connect with them and you'll talk to them and you'll realize, oh, they're actually not following the league. I think that's changing. You know, here, at least in the United States in that regard, but, no, I'm a fan of the league. I follow the league pretty closely. I'm obviously very familiar with the goalkeepers on Inside the 18, which is a sister podcast, as you all know, on the Union Goalkeeping Network. We've had a lot of NWSL keepers on, a lot of NWSL coaches. So I try to stay as for lack of a better term, up to date in the league as I can. So,
I'll first of all, if I'm going to talk, you know, women's soccer, I'm going to have someone that knows who's what they're doing. So no shade against you. I'm just doing my own homework, but also I feel like there's just a lot of talk of like, oh yeah, we support this, we support that, you know, women's soccer, blah, blah. And then when it comes to actually knowing anything about it, you'd be shocked at how many goalkeeper specific people really don't know anything on the women's game. Although they are very like in theory supportive of it, but when it comes to like naming names or watching anything, like, So I'm just doing my due diligence over here, but no, I'm glad to talk. Yeah.
Oh no, Bill, to be completely honest with you. And by the way, this is not a gender centric situation either. It's there are people in whatever gender they identify as that don't follow the league. And it's very concerning, especially when you talk to young coaches or young players, which is another situation where I go, you know, who do you follow in the league? You know, who are your favorite goalkeepers in the league? And they go, oh, I like Thibaut Courtois. I'm like, no, like in the women's game, like who do you follow? I'm like, you know, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, we could certainly go down that path pretty easily and for a long time, but I'm still shocked of how many players still say Hope Solo, like young goalkeepers on the women's side that are still saying, yeah, Hope Solo is my favorite, which I don't really know what to make of that, but it's discouraging to hear a lack of like naming names. So I'm always thrilled whenever someone has someone from a current goalkeeper that they're supporting. So this will be a nice transition in for us here, but let's step into the league here. And I think one situation that's really caught my eye recently is out in Seattle. Now, Laurel Ivory has replaced Dickey here. And part of me wanted to show the injury from Dickey just because I thought it was kind of like somewhat of a learning moment, but also part of it was just like, this is too, like I do one of those cringe or like, I don't,
yeah,
I feel
uncomfortable. I don't like watching injuries again in replay. I know they always freeze frame and I know they always like, you know, pan in and everything like that. And I'm like, I deal with that enough in my own life. I don't need to see it in somebody else because I've turned that ankle, I've twisted that knee, you know, I've torn that thing. It sounded weird, but you know what I mean?
No, I gotcha. Yeah, for some reason there's a, you know, infatuation of like, hey, let's slow it down and watch. I'm like, no, like I'm going to like look away. I can't. So Dickey obviously was the starting goalkeeper in Seattle, was playing well, still has a bright future ahead of her. But Ivory, who is right at the same age as her, has stepped in. And to my opinion, I think she's getting a little undersold as far as like what she's been able to do. I think where I thought she was before she started stepping into now, I probably thought, I was like, okay, well, we'll see. But I'm going to show one save here because I think in a general sense, tactically, I've been really thrilled with watching her play.
So before we go into, before we watch the clips really quickly, you know, Bill, I want to ask you, what were your, because obviously Laurel came out of Virginia. She, you know, she worked with Jake Davis over Virginia. She came on and, you know, filled some depth on the roster over at Seattle. I don't know about you, but when she came into the league, I never saw her as a number one playing in the league. I saw her as a consistent depth position, a squad goalkeeper, you know, for a career, maybe five years in the league. And then that was about it. Or maybe going overseas and playing, you know, in a Scandinavian country, something along those lines. That's what I saw from her.
Yeah. I think that was kind of the general consensus, if I'm being honest. For me, I always have a hard time totally evaluating a goalkeeper when they don't get to a level and fail. And that was where Ivory was sitting at, where she did well in college, obviously played for the youth national team. I think there were some moments with some World Cups where, you know, I think at the end of the day, she's going to want those moments back and those goals back. But like, you know, to be fair, did well at Virginia, got to the league and hasn't really got a chance yet. And so, you know, in my head, I'm like, well, you know, I think the big critique on her is just athleticism and frame. I think she doesn't cover as much of the goal as some other goalkeepers. However, you know, there's ways you can work around that for sure. So I think
the positive is she is bigger than Jake Davis. So there's that.
we're going to get some hate mail after that. Sorry, Jake. But yeah,
I'm with you there, Jake.
Well, and even Jake would say, like, look, if you're not 6'5", you know, you don't have to play 6'5". You know, there are multiple ways to play the position. So I think, yeah, everyone's in the same boat of like the evaluation, give or take. But I think anyone who's been following her, she's actually done a fantastic job. And I think for my money's, my sake, my word, is tactically she's in a really smart spot. She clearly is very, very thought out. So we're going to watch this save here. But I think
she's also in a great situation in regards to the fact, not to interrupt you there, where she's got a veteran goalkeeper coach within the league in Lloyd Yaxley, you know, that's working with her this season, you know, and I can't think of anybody better to have in your corner when you have to step in for somebody like a Dickey getting injured. and have to take that position than somebody that's been there before in the same situation. You know, obviously, you know, he's had the situation back when he was in Orlando, I believe. He had the situation where he had to deal with injuries and another goalkeeper stepping in. So it's not unfamiliar territory to Lloyd.
Yeah, Lloyd's a highly respected goalkeeper coach, and you never really know what investment is going in behind the scenes and how that's showing. I like to think that watching Ivory's game, the sophistication she's at right now versus previously, you know, like she's really grown into it. So I've really enjoyed watching her. I think it's fair to give some credit to Lloyd on this one here. But we'll take a look at this play here. It's a bit zoomed out, but you'll see the ball's going down the far side there on the shadow change. You see Ivory's got a good positioning here. She's clearly got thought about what's happening on the backside. You know, you'll see with her movement coming up here, but she's obviously have to protect the shot. As the ball gets slotted, she's moving over here. And I think you see a lot of goalkeepers that as they make the transition, they've just completely bailed out from their previous position, and there's no chance of ever going back against their momentum here. And so this is a pretty tricky save for her. This goes down low to her left side, and it's a little kick save there. Kind of a wild save. Her body's kind of sprawling a little bit. But as you watch it back here, the thing I love about it is like she has kind of plan A, plan B, plan C here. Like she's not just thinking, oh, I've got to go sell myself to the right. She has the ability to go left with her foot. Now, if that happens 10 times, does she save it 10 times? You know, probably not, but at least there's a blueprint. There's intentionality there. You see her look, give a little kind of hand point at the start of the play. She knows that there's a possibility that this ball can get slotted in. There's a high possibility that's going to come for her, give a shot. So, like, this is a sophistication where I think you see a lot of goalkeepers that are just kind of bumbling through the play of like, oh, it's been passed over. I need to go over there now. Whereas for her, she's thinking, well, it may come back to my left. It may go to my right. It may take another, I mean, it may maybe a dummy's through to the next runner. Like, she's clearly got some stuff thought out here.
You know, I like what you said in regards to like intention and everything like that. And like, if you can pause that really quickly when she's on the near post, if you can go back to that, Bill, that'd be great. So one of the issues that I see with a lot of young goalkeepers in this scenario right here is on that drop step of that pivot is their shift is already over because they're thinking about the big gap. They're thinking about the big gap. And so they're already playing that in their head that the ball's going to be slotted big gap. So they're leaning slightly that direction, which means that their momentum can't make that shift. What she does, if you watch the drop step here, it's a small drop step, but her weight is still positioned in such a way that she can still recover to the near post. Because that looks like that ball takes a slight deflection, which is why it ends up going to that near post right there.
Yeah maybe. When if I, you if, look... You got to think of this as kind of like as odds. You know, if you know where the runner is and you know where the ball's going, you can kind of think, okay, maybe I don't need to play the center of the goal. So for here, she hasn't really covered much distance, which is kind of a risky play because what if it does go back post or what if it goes down the center of the goal? She's going to be in trouble. But I think she has an understanding that like the shooter's going to be shooting with their momentum. So whoever's running in there, that shot's going to go towards Ivory's left. Or at her. It's not going to go more than likely. It's not going to go towards that far post on Ivory's right side. Like that's a tough shot to hit. Now it could happen, for sure. But now you're getting into kind of a gambling situation of placing odds of like, okay, what are the odds that it goes near post versus far post here? It is pretty, the scales get tipped there. So it is a little situational. If that ball goes farther over, then you're looking at more of a, you know, looking at the other post there. But yeah, no, I'm with you. The drop step, the weight, the positioning, like this is a really, it's fun to watch it. And I love how it's kind of like, you can tell she sells her body out. You know, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to kind of try to get it. You know, we'll see what happens. But like, it's like her body almost explodes off the save, which is, there's a lot of fun to see. So that's maybe the best play I've ever seen or best save from her I've ever seen. Like that's a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, that's high praise right there. But like, I think, you know, one of the things too, is if you go back and you look at like that back post runner right there, right? So if you go back, if you throw that back up there and we can see this back post runner right there. So if she overshoots into this space because she's so worried about that back post runner, well, the ball's just slotted to the near post anyway. And there's nothing she can do about it. Yeah. Honestly, if this ball is played back across to the back post runner, she's going to get scored on anyway. So it's like, what are you going to do? So you have to kind of play it and look at like risk versus reward. It's like, okay, well, you know, the goals are going to happen, and I just have to try to do the best job I can to eliminate goal scoring opportunities, not try to make a big save, but eliminate the most likely scenario here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I try to tell my young goalkeepers of thinking, if you're playing rock, paper, scissors with someone, and you know, for a fact, someone's going to throw a rock 80% of the time, you're going to throw paper more. And it's not a guarantee you're going to win those matchups. You know, they're going to throw scissors at some point, but here's like a good example of thinking of odds. Like she knows this at least one runner, if not two runner. I don't know how much credit to give her, but even if she knows there are two runners there, she has to respect that first one, because that's real danger. Even if it gets the second one, maybe it takes a bounce, maybe the defender gets it. There's a lot of reasons why that ball getting the second one could still fall short, but you have to protect that first one. And the same point, she has to protect the angle off on the original play for the shot. Even if, you know, that if you don't think that's going to really be coming, you still have to respect that. So I'm going to flip over to the other side here for Ivory's game. And for me, this is kind of like where I think, I don't know if it's room for growth or just general limitation. I can't really speak on that. But where,
by the way, shout out to the NWSL for giving us angles where the shade is directly in line of all the development of the play. It always makes it so much easier for us to break it down. Honestly, yeah, thank you, NWSL.
Yeah, love it. They also do this wonderful thing with their camera angles where they'll zoom in on the shooter, but you won't be able to see the goal. When the shot happens, they'll like quickly pan over, and you're like, well, I don't. Like, imagine in basketball if you like zoomed in on the shooter and then you quickly, like, you would never do that. So
I think U9 parents are the photographers, the videographers for NWSL.
Yeah, you're putting a target on us today with Jake and the.
Hey, you didn't say it. I said it. Gloves off, right? This is a different show than Inside the 18. I can say whatever the hell I want.
Yeah. So similar situation, right? You know, she's got to respect. And she's thinking about, okay, I don't need to just sit on my near post here. She's clearly thinking about what can happen off the backside or what can happen with a slotted ball here. As this ball gets to the end line, I think this is kind of where the limitations of her game are at the moment, where she only has so much athleticism to cover this, and it ends up being kind of a soft tip. And I think that's kind of the question mark for me of, can she, is this something that she can grow in? Is this something she can add to her game? I don't think the decision is necessarily wrong. Wonderful shade again on this play. but she's done a good job of dropping in. She's done a good job of considering that ball. And I like how she kind of positions her body here. Like, she's considered that back post as an option, but she's shoulders are still kind of facing out to the play here. And then she really squares up, takes a step off that post. I love that. But if you're not going to be able to clear something that's like crossbar height, at the end of the day, you're just going to have troubles with this sort of stuff. Like, this ball isn't that high up. You know, for a lot of goalkeepers, they're either holding that or really knocking that away. So I think you see Ivory's game. She's a little undersized, average athleticism. Can she find ways to kind of add that into her game? You know, that's a big question mark. And I think that's why a lot of people kind of saw her as, well, you know, she'll be kind of a depth player. So for me, she's still done very well. This is just one play, but I think if we're looking at areas for growth and where she can improve on, like, you know, that I think that's the one most people are going to be looking at.
Yeah, you know, but go back to that right there. Go back to the shape before the ball is clipped over her. So let's go back to the shape. Okay, so here's the issue with that right there. You have to see the triggers and cues here. You have to see the triggers and cues here. Now, look, based on the shape of the player that's lifting the ball right there, it's going to lift. And you're already in a negative position because you're already too low because you're trying to eliminate that low shot. That's not what she's going to be able to do right there, because based on her body shape, if she had been higher up, right, but still in a dynamic shape, she would have gotten the power to push that off, in my opinion. So I think that's what's going on. Look at her shape right there. She's too low right there, and then she's not able to get that push off because she's just barely not getting at fingertips to it.
These are the type of complexities that you see in top leagues where a goalkeeper has to weigh a lot of things. So, you know, we're stopping and slowing. I'll put it in real time. I think even this is real time here. You know, like, to have this driven near post, like, and I think that's the part in her head where she's like, I can't completely abandon near post here, even though it may feel like she's going for the lift and looking to lob over. That's just something as a goalkeeper you have to be really, really mindful of. So I think there's something to be said about it, and just you can see her body as it kind of leaves the ground. Like, she doesn't get a lot of height. I think she knows she can jump higher than that. But I think just how she's using her body. I mean, the striker still has her shoulders over, to be fair. Like,
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Bill. That is a very, that ball, it's not often that's going to be completed either, too.
Yeah.
In that situation. So I mean, that's a very well placed ball.
Yeah, it's a good ball. It's a tough play, but I think you see a lot of goalkeepers that, like, Neuer probably knocks that out. Lund definitely knocks that out. Murphy's going to handle that. So, like, that, and that, look, you're going to be a little bit undersized. You're going to be a little less athletic. You're going to have to show people that you can handle this. I think if she figures out her footwork, because it's kind of a little stumbling through it, she can make this play. It's a very tricky play. It's one that, like, you probably give the goalkeeper a bit of a pass on. But considering how close she is to it and how not high that ball is, I think that's one you'd like to see that, okay, if you're going to be a starter, you can handle this. So
this is something that was brought up to me by some undersized goalkeepers, you know, in the past, and severely severely undersized goalkeepers. Do you remember Anna Piccarelli?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
No, who is that?
Okay. She played for the Italian national team.
Okay, it rings a little bit.
She played out here. I believe she played at Pepperdine. Anyway, also in the Lena Hayes, who obviously played in Spain, and she came back to playing, you know, after coaching for a bit in the league. It is in the whole coil aspect. So when you're under an undersized keeper, it's about having that slinky coil so that if it's contained, you can push off and spring. But if you're in between, you've got no give. So you either stay high to be able to cover that space. Yeah. Or you drive all the way low and open up that gap because you know you can explode and push off and expand onto it. If that makes any sense.
No, absolutely. And I think what a taller.
She was cut in the middle. So.
Yeah. Well, and you think if you've got height, you know, how you play the game, you're going to use a lot of power and you have a little less quickness to rely on, but you can be powerful. You can be big, you know, but the footwork and body shape and positioning you use doesn't necessarily, and oftentimes just doesn't translate to those shorter goalkeepers. And they have to, and I think this is where a lot of our shorter goalkeepers get underserved, is that they're trained by a goalkeeper coach who's 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and they say, play this way. And it's like, that doesn't really work for them. They need to play a little bit more compact so they can have that spring. They need to be able to play in a way where they can move their feet and be quick and lean into those strengths of their game. They're not going to be the tallest. They're not going to be able to cover everything, but if they can move their feet, have some spring, you know, they're going to be in a good spot. So,
well, it's the same thing in regards to like your profile, your shape determines how you push off, how you explode. You know, if you've got wider hips, it's going to be almost more like a sumo type shape that's going to give you that push off and extension because you've got your hamstrings, your glutes, you know, firing off right there. But if you're built more like a gazelle, you're not going to drop into that shape because you're not going to get anything out of that. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to transition because we saw that wonderful foot save from Ivory, and I wanted to show kind of an overuse of the spread save, in my opinion. So just to be clear, that foot save from Ivory we showed just a second ago, that's not like a breakaway situation. That's not where you see the spread. That's just a foot save. And so what we're going to look at here are three examples from moments. Now, this is Sheridan from obviously the USA-Canada game here. And in my opinion, she's very good at executing the spread save when it's called for. But you'll notice the depth of the play here where she's dropped in, which is fine. Fine position here. But the distance from the shooter to her on this play, which ends up being a goal, I mean, that's, what is that, like 7-8 yards? And now she's looking to go for the spread save here. And it's, for me, it's the wrong tool for the wrong job. She's trying to go the spread for a situation which is 7-8. If she gets herself set, she can make this save. And there's a lot of things that go wrong with this spread save, and there's a lot of ways to overuse this. But the big thing for me that I keep seeing is if you're gapped out anything more than like 6 yards, and you're still running down while they're winding up to strike it, like, you're just not going to have any mobility. Your rhythm's going to be off. You're not going to be able to execute the shape in time. And so if she actually gets set here, let's get back to the replay here. If she gets set here, she probably can just make a foot save off of this. And that's not really the spread necessarily, although it is somewhat similar. But you'll just notice as she comes in, she's still kind of coming down. She's stepping forward as a ballsman shot. And that ball's not really passing her too far. I think that actually goes under her foot. And you can just see she's now breaking into her shape, but the ball is already 4 or 5 yards past her.
You know, I'm looking at this right here. And, you know, first off, one thing is that Kaylin is very effective in the spread. So I want to say that, you know, for the most part, it's an action that works very well for her. And she's very confident in it. All these angles are a little bit different. Some of them make it look like it's closer, the space, and some of them make it look like it's farther away. I see the intent of what she was trying to do here, which is she was trying to force the angle away by shooting her body in such a manner that she was eliminating that space for the shooter to be able to go back across, and they would have to fire to the near, which generally I think she would stop that right there. I agree. I think she could have stolen a little bit more space, or she could have held, because a player is still in movement when she spreads. So yeah, she probably could have just held ground and waited and forced the player. And this is something that happens constantly. It's happened to me yesterday, you know, in a men's league game near the end of the game. I mean, just to use myself as an example, where I bite too early. And the reason is because I'm trying to bait the player into making an action. But because I bite too early, they now know they know my bluff, and so they wait. And so you kind of have to be like mindful of that, is that the player is reading your body too, not just the other way around.
Yeah. It's a real chess game. And I use the analogy of we take a move, they take a move, we take a move, they take a move. And so both are reading each other and understanding what's going on here. You know, she maybe drops in a little deep considering like there's pressure on the play and like a chip isn't really viable here, although she has to respect like this ball here, like maybe that could get lobbed over her depending on what that ball looks like. I don't know if she really, like, I think it's really difficult to go press this high with the timing of that. I think what's just easier is like for her to get set a yard above the six and just get set there and just make the play. So she's got something she really likes in her game and it fits well, but you can see she's almost at like a full sprint here. It's like she's striding out, and this ball, I think, just goes under her left foot. We don't get a great camera angle at it, but this is just one of what I have three clips here for to see.
But Bill, honestly, I think that goal, most of the time, that should be scored by that striker. I think that should be completed.
But where's that ball entering the goal? I mean, I think it's under her left foot. Like, where
is it? Okay.
I mean, that's going, that might actually be Megan her a bit. Like, you don't get a great camera angle on it, but that's very, if she just stands still, it probably hits her.
Probably.
The shooter thinks, oh, they're coming down the line, so that changes things. But, you know, again, it's kind of this chess game of like, what are your odds? What do you have to do here? If you're trying to do too many moves at once, like, you know, you're going to get in trouble. So I'll show
you. I think you're a great point right there. It's like, you want to hope that they hit it within your bubble right there. Because the thing is that, like, I think that was a mishit. I don't think she meant to hit it there. I think she was meant to hit it across the post. So,
yeah, no, I think you're right. And, you know, if they score that goal, okay, that's one thing, but that's soft for me. Like that's something that she can save and keep that out. So again, with the timing aspect, I'm going to jump to We've got three clips total on this. This is Manny Hot on a play. You'll see that the release on, and when I say release, I mean like the start of the execution of the spread save. It's just a little late. And so really the whole, the reason why the spread save has become viable is because it does two really nice things. It covers the five hole, which is a spot between your feet for the people who aren't familiar with the hockey terminology, but you've also got some width, you know, your feet cut, you know, your leading foot that's extending out is giving you width. Your back foot behind you is giving you a little bit more width than nothing. Yes, you could go on your side, but now you start getting that problem of like that spot under your hands, that spot under your shoulder, ribs. Like it's a shape that like works really well when you're trying to get a little bit of height, a little bit of width here. So it's not really the wrong choice in this situation. You can throw it. I think a lot of goalkeepers are just going to go on their left and be big here. You know, I understand that. But you can see that this ball, again, gets slipped under, and she's going up with her body, she's actually jumping up with a save, and then coming down, you know, in it. I think that's going under, like, her left thigh, left knee spot, where she's basically getting megged on the play because she's opened up that spot. And that's really the only, like, really viable spot the striker has. Yeah, they could try to lift it a bit. But, you know, she's opened up that spot. And, again, we're trying to use the spread save, which she can do. There's a lot of excitement on that play. You can do, but if you're going to leave that spot open, like, you've got to make sure you cover that.
I want to see that again.
You're going to get busted for it.
You know.
So you see this ball drops here. She sees the play, but she has this kind of hiccup in where she kind of jumps up. I'll try to, like, pause it here. So she sees the play. Yeah. You know, and this is a high-scoring chance. I'm not going to take that away from her. But, like, both her feet are now – I mean, her shoulders are, like, mid-height of the goal. She's very high here. She's jumped up, and that five hole is now wide open for her to score that. Where it's if she drops her body into the save, she protects that five hole. Yeah, she's not going to cover the whole goal, but the like the dribbler down the middle of the goal now gets covered.
But yeah, I was thinking either starfish, or I was thinking even you could drive and drop into a smother and just go at the feet right there. Now, obviously, that could be a dangerous situation too. But if you drop body right there. Again, that player doesn't have enough time to lift that ball over you. And if they do, that's a brilliant goal. But if she goes back right there and she just drops shoulder and she attacks that space and goes down, I think she smothers that.
Yeah, I think
for a lot of start, honestly.
Well, and I think a lot of goalkeepers, like especially older ones, yeah, they're seeing this and thinking, yeah, just go on your left side. What's the big deal here? And I think that's a viable solution as well. I think the problem we're getting into with a lot of these goalkeepers is they're seeing the spread save and they know it's when it's done well, it's amazing. It's a type of save that you really can't replicate elsewhere, but it's like anything, if you're overusing a tool, like, you know, if she was trying to like catch this like W shape, like that's not the situation for this. Like you wouldn't be doing that here. So I'm going to show one more here. This ends up actually being not a goal.
I mean, you don't think that could be like a Cobra type situation right there?
Oh yeah, I know. Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. She could go on her left side here. No questions here. Like she could just drop on her left. Maybe that's the most high percentage play. I can't really weigh in that. I've seen goalkeepers do their spread save here and be fine, but you have to execute it. Well, her right knee is like still too locked out. That right knee needs to be dropping down. Her shoulders need to be coming down, not kind of hopping up a bit. And opening up that five hole. So I think complexity wise, if you go to on your left side, you're fine. So similar situation here as far as like overusing a spread save, in my opinion. And I'll just play it through actually and kind of let people see here. But this ball kind of trickles through a little clumsy here, but we get away with this here. And you're going to see on the replay here in a sec that, first of all, Kingsbury's like, execution of it gets really clunky at a point, and there's a point where like she almost locks her. I mean, for again, you've got the five hole there, but watch her left cleat come down. Like that's a good way to bust your knee, bust your hip. Like
yeah,
you're asking for an injury there. She's sitting on her right foot as well, but from the striker point of view,
I feel like my knee is just what's the word? You know what I mean?
Dislocated.
Yeah. Okay. Dislocated by just looking at that shape right there. My knee feels hurt. Like it hurts.
And it's not too, I mean,
hyperextended.
Hyperextended. Yeah. It's not too dissimilar from the force you use, what hurt Dickie. Totally different play. But like that's a lot of stress that's coming on the knee there. And she, you can tell she's trying to get her knee down, but she also just kind of sits on her right foot, which you see a lot of goalkeepers do. From the striker's point of view, if there's enough wherewithal, she just takes a touch and goes around Kingsbury here. So you see this here. She's got her head down because she's been clipped a little bit, but Kingsbury throws it too early, and she's actually got, she's got her beat right there. If she can realize, okay, hey, like, she's stuck in the ground. All I need to do is just go around her. She's done. Now she kind of hits into the chest here, and that, I like that the arms are coming down. She's thinking about that shape. You see a lot of goalkeepers struggle with on her left side, where Kingsbury, her arm is tighter to her leg, which is good. If the ball hits, it's going to catch both of those, ideally. But, you know, like, the shape is dangerous. And she
go back to the approach in regards to, like, the body, her angle run on the approach.
So I think she thinks here she's in, whereas the defender kind of clips her a little bit. That might be a foul, to be honest. So now she has to, and I think this is a tricky play for what you're kind of calling out there. Like, she has to step up and then transfer over again.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the distance wise, like, I think this is a good distance for the spread save, but it's a tough thing to, like, time out, because she throws it a little early. And again, if the striker's paying any attention, she can just round her here. But she just kind of hits it into her body. So she gets away with a little bit, but also, like, kind of more my complaint is, like, dangerous-wise. Like, I think I'm done watching that play like that.
That's
uncomfortable. You know, you're going to be strong and flexible, be able to get through some certain stuff. But, like, you know, that's something that you're asking for some problems there.
Well, my concern is, first off, is that in regards to, like, if I was the goalkeeper coach afterwards, you know, first off, I don't want to negate any sort of save situation. You know, you want to keep the confidence of your goalkeeper from a social and a mental standpoint with the team and with themselves. But I would kind of just, you know, kind of make a mental note for myself in regard to, like, it's a long season. We're in May right now. And if our goalkeeper is putting their body in that type of a situation right now, like, you know, that is concerning, because what is their physical well-being going to be in September?
Especially
if she goes to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And she's doing that kind of stuff at training. Cause I don't think Aubrey's going to be, no disrespect to Aubrey, I don't think she's going to be the number one for the US. I'd be concerned about that. So.
Well, she's only the 2-time NWSL goalkeeper of the year. So we'll see. But at 32, like, and I think you see it there, like, she's clearly not comfortable with the spread save completely. She is throwing it. Obviously, she's utilizing it.
Didn't one year was she W League goalkeeper of the year and NWSL goalkeeper of the year?
That sounds right. I know she went to Australia for a few years. That sounds right.
This is insane.
But, yeah. So She definitely deserves more caps. And, I mean, we'll see if Nair returns. I mean, she's certainly in the running for it. I think it's one of these things, like, she's 32. Like, if you're going to do that, you have to completely commit to it. Otherwise, you're risking injury, and you're also risking goals at that point if you haven't quite mastered a new technique. And that's really maybe a side volley is the only other thing I can think of, like, a new technique goalkeepers are really picking up right now. As far as, like, goalkeepers in their 30s, like, I can't really think of anything else, if I'm being honest. So
can we touch on that really quickly? And I know it's not on the rundown and everything like that, but obviously it's big news that Nair was not selected by Emma Hayes, which means that the injury is of a severe enough case that they believe she should stay with Chicago and continue rehabilitation. Do you read anything into that, or do you just go, no, these are just friendlies? You know,
I think they're going to do everything they can do to get Nair to play and at the Olympics. I think that's everyone's focus right now. I don't necessarily agree with it. Like, I mean, I think she's getting significantly outplayed by a lot of American keepers right now. So, but I think just history goes, I mean, she's got umpteen caps, you know, and that was after a long wait from Solo. So, you know, they're going to look to get her in at all costs. If she doesn't go into camp until the day of the Olympics, like, they'll still play her, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my thing about, in regards to, like, what's going on right now with, that was just coming through right here. Can you hear me? Okay, cool.
There you go.
You know, my thing in regards to like what was going on with that selection right there with the, that camp right there is that we just brought in it. It looked to me like because of the selections that they made, which are all basically around the same age group and around the same, you know, level in the league and in their form and everything like that, is that they're looking for somebody who could step in and play for her if she's not available. You know, that camp did not look like all of a sudden there was like a you know, out of nowhere type of a situation like, oh, Mandy Hott's here now. Like what? You know, like that sort of a thing. So,
well, they've gotten themselves into a position. It's been a problem for like 15 years where, you know, you look at the first 20 years of the women's national team and it was a highly competitive position. Like I know Scurry had a ton of caps, but you know, she goes 99 World Cup winner and loses her starting spot for the 2000 Olympics. Like that, it's a highly competitive spot for all those years. And then Solo comes in and it's kind of like, well, let's basically just kind of camp down on one. I mean, you've got the 07 World Cup, which is a bit of a debacle. But, you know, outside of that, like it's basically like all the caps are going to this person. And maybe that's financially related of trying to like, you know, I understand like trying to supplement income. However, what we've gotten now into is like, well, we don't really know who our number two is. Like, you know, who is it? You know, you ask 100 fans, you're going to get a lot of different answers. So, you know, for me, like you've got to keep that spot honest and open and kind of merit based. And if you start just relying on someone because it's comfortable, then, you know, you start shutting down. I mean, the last time Nayer won goalkeeper of the year in the NWSL, I think it was 2014. Like it's yeah. been a long time, 2013, 14, like it's been a long time. Other goalkeepers have come and gone that have played and got the award, but like they don't get a chance in. And Kingsbury is a great example. It's like 2-time league goalkeeper of the year, but you know, I think.
Well, she didn't even get calls. She didn't even get call ups until later on in her career.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a Casey Murphy situation where she started getting call ups, you know, earlier on.
Yeah, so. For sure. For sure. Well, speaking of the number one, we've had a bit of an influx from foreign talent into the league. Most notably in recent times, you've got Berger, who both Sask and I were given high praise to. I think for right now, she's top of the league for me in the short window that she's been here. We'll see how things move on. But in past years, just off the top of my head, we had Bardsley, we had Buhadi, and I think people left feeling like that was okay. Onger is a little bit farther ago, but you know, all those goalkeepers were really late in their career, but there's one name that's kind of circled a bit more, which is Mary Earps, which is the English national team number one goalkeeper. And obviously has a lot of talent in her game, but I'm curious on your thoughts, Michael. How does she fit into the league? Does she fit into the league? Is she at the level? Is she above the level? Where do you view Earps in as far as relative to the league?
Well, first off, we have to start in regards to Mary Earps. Mary Earps has been around for a long time. I don't think people need to understand that. Mary Earps was in the selection for England years and years and years ago as a third string, kind of an afterthought. I'm not going to lie. I mean, a lot of people thought after Bardsley, Ellie Roebuck was going to be the number one moving forward. Even Karen said that to me. You know, she said, I think Ellie's, you know, going to be the number one moving forward. Obviously, injuries and some other unfortunate situations led to LA kind of falling out of favor, but then the big thing happened, you know, Hannah, Sandy, you know, we got all these up and comers, you know, type of thing happening. And, you know, Hannah was in a horrible situation at Birmingham and finally got a move into an actual club. No disrespect to Birmingham, but they had some struggles, off the field, at that club. And, you know, Sandy, you know, obviously has been a place such as, you know, start out as Everton and continued on her career. And Mary just kind of kept trudging along. And it was really the Euros that kind of put Mary on the map, in my opinion, you know, where everyone like worldwide was like, oh my gosh, is she a product of the system that she was in, or is she the world's best goalkeeper? I don't know. You know, one of the problems with the WSL is that it's not the parody of NWSL where we see week in and week out, you're playing against comparable competition, you know? So how much is she challenged in the WSL versus in the NWSL? I believe Mary is coming to the United States. I believe that she's done everything that she's wanted to accomplish over there. She's not going to win the WSL. So again. So it's not going to happen, you know, with the situation, you know, that's going on. And it looks like it's pretty much, you know, consistently going to be Chelsea, Man City, that those are two clubs over and over again. I think it depends on like the situation she goes into. Where does she go? She's going to go to a high profile market, honestly. So let's look at high profile markets that could be splash the cash. First off, bring in a number one, like a Mary Earps. And how much better is she than what they already have? If I look at the situation, she's not going to Gotham. She's not going to Orlando. Because Orlando's riding high right now, which blows my mind to say that. So it's been, how long has it been since Orlando's been good? Everything points to me like Bay spent so much money. I don't see them bringing in somebody else, although their situation's kind of, you know, still in a little bit of upheaval. You know, Caitlin and Prue are such different goalkeepers, so I don't want to even rank them a one or a two. You know, Angel City would be where I would be thinking if she...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I guarantee you they would sign her just because Angel City is consistently building that brand, that world brand.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much better she is than Didi. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think most of the teams in the league, if they had a chance to sign her, they would, just from like the brand aspect. And obviously she's a good goalkeeper. I do not think she's number one in the world. I think that is ridiculous. I think she is a bit of product of circumstance of like getting a chance to play, and she's done fine for herself. And we'll take a look at a couple of her clips here. But I mean, I'm like at the stands right now, like Orlando, I think for sure would bring her in. You know, you're going to get a crowded roster. I get it. But like they would for sure. Portland would for sure. Chicago's like kind of
even with the, even though those teams are such at the top of their game right now, you want to throw that upheaval in there right there.
Absolutely. I think they would do it. Okay. Do it. Just because they know it's added value. And if you're going to really run your organization as like, hey, like we're constantly striving to get better and not just kind of like, okay, like, you know, we're here now. Like if you're top of the NWSL, like the message surely is, hey, like we're going to look to continue to push and bring in pieces we need that can help elevate the team. And like everyone's professional, like they know their job is constantly on the line. Yeah, those lower level teams, like, you know, it's easier to improve those. But I mean, you see it in every league and every sport that, you know, Super Bowl winning champs, like they don't just bring back the same roster. Like they know, yeah, hey, like everyone's going to be gunning for us. So like, yeah, I think overwhelmingly like the league, like San Diego, no, Gotham, no, maybe Chicago, no, but they know Nair is like getting up there, you know, like Houston's probably a no, but then also like I don't think she's going to go to Utah. Yeah, sorry Utah, but like you know,
no,
like
but that's what I'm saying. I think Mary will go to a high profile market, and that's why I think Orlando is kind of a little concerned. I mean, it is Florida, the state tax thing situation. I just don't know what kind of fees she's at. I don't know what kind of wage she's at Man U. and how many clubs are, again, we're talking about NWSL and we're talking about salary, you know, cap restrictions and all of that. Yeah, this is not, this is not the EPL or you can just float, throw whatever you want, you know? Yeah.
I think it's kind of 50-50 on if she comes or not. Cause I, there's only so many spots at the end of the day. It's not a huge league and the money thing is going to be a big question mark. Cause she knows she can get a lot of money in England. That's not a question. So like, does she stay? Does she go? We'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like they've done so much stuff in the past and she's only 31. I mean, she's got a few years left to play at a high level. Like, you know, it's not like she's 37, 38 and coming down. So,
I mean, I'll look at it this way. Like I personally, and again, I haven't spoken to her about it. So, you know, I don't, I, this is just speculation. I believe that Fallon would not have, you know, when things fell out of favor, you know, at Reign, you know, with her and she made the move to Man United. I don't think she would have gone over there to be a long-term number two. I think she would have only gone over there if there was an understanding that Mary was going to be at least leaving the club, if not the league, anytime soon. And this is a new, from a branding standpoint for her, it would be a mass, it'd be a great move for her to come over here. Because I think she's already identified herself in Europe as a name.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. She's definitely a name alone. Like, I mean, she's probably the most popular. She's got the hottest name right now, I think, in all goalkeeping in the world on the women's side. I mean, I don't, the whole jersey stuff, like you see the NWSL releasing jerseys, I think in large part because of her, it's like, cause how her sold out so fast. So,
but I mean, she was starting at Man United when she was in her 20s, when she wasn't even in the England selection. So,
what's changed? Yeah. you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Well, to give people a bit of an idea on Earp's game, I've got a few clips here. I don't know if I'll go through everything, but I think we're going to go through two saves to start, and then we'll go through some, I think, kind of softer goals, in my opinion. But I think where Earp's like really succeeds is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but knowing how to use her frame and her skill set. She's not the tallest goalkeeper, and I think this is a great save where you see she clearly plays with a lot of energy. Her teammates love playing with her, but also, most importantly, she knows how to move her feet. So she's set here, and she covers the near post. Now, this isn't the hardest hit shot, but I mean, that's a lot of steps there. A lot of goalkeepers instantly go into their dive. So we'll see it in real time here. It's hit, she's set, and she moves her feet. Whereas a lot of goalkeepers just fall over trying to hope that they're big enough, and some get away with that. But I think for Earps's game, like, it's really nice to see a shorter goalkeeper know how to play with their skill set and know how to move their feet.
I mean, I think technically this is a very sound save. And honestly, one of the things that I like about it, and I think a lot of young goalkeepers need to see this because I bring this up so many times, is look at the flight of the ball and look at her shoulder height. She's keeping her shape to the height of the flight of the ball rather than dropping her shape below the flight of the ball. Because if she has to come up and attack that ball, it's a different scenario than staying at that height of the flight of that ball.
Yeah. She knows, I mean, it's a kind of a flicked back header. Like, it's not going to have a ton of power. So she's keeping her body up so she can move her feet. If she hunches down, yeah, she'll have a lot of explosive power, but like, that's not really what the situation calls for. So no, I think you're absolutely, I think you're absolutely right. Let's take a look at this save as well. Again, kind of a bit of a scrambling mentality. Like, she has this real, like, never be beat sort of attitude. And I think she yells F off there.
This is a very Mary Earp save, by the way.
Yeah.
Very Mary Earp save.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't think there's much to nitpick. Again, you've got a bit of a flick here, and she's trying to figure out, like, where to get. And I think this is one of the tough plays where, as this ball comes in as a goalkeeper, you're thinking, well, this could go to really four people here. So how do you position yourself? Like, you don't have the luxury of time to get where you want to get. So she kind of gets where she thinks it's going to go, because I think that number 22, 23, like, it could land to her. So she's coming back to her left, but then she sees this ball is going. And so she, again, so she still has, like, the wherewithal to have kind of plan B, plan C kind of picked out here. So it's a nice claw out. I mean, that's a fantastic save. Like, that's a big stretch there. You know, I think for a goalkeeper who's a little bit undersized, she still has a lot of athleticism to give. It's a bit more mobility related. Yeah. I talked about an English moment there.
That's that was the most British thing I've ever seen. Just welcome to Wrexham right there.
Yeah. So, but that's a great save. I love seeing that. So I think for me, Earps's highs are high, but her lows, like for me, there's just moments where I'm just like, man, like this is supposed to be the top goalkeeper in the world here. Like this is sort of stuff that like feels a bit beneath her at times. So we'll see this play here. Like ball's on the far side, gets brought to the top of the 18. We kind of get back into a similar spot here. But this basically just goes through her. You know, for me, like this is a bit off her shoulder, but if you just look at her body language, she goes to ground. She's just falling back here. So she's moving well. This is all good here. She takes her spot. She gets set here. This is fine. Totally fine with this. But we just see the response. It's like she's just falling out of it and she's spun out of it. Whereas this is something you're not going to like dive forward here. I understand that. But you can't be spinning backwards off this play. Like that's just her hands and feet are in totally different mindsets where her feet are like leaning, going forward here and her hands are rolling back.
Well, I mean, positionally, everything looked reasonable until the last moment right there, where I think it might have just been caught a little bit too near post. But I think one of the things that I want young goalkeepers to recognize this when you play that back right over there is when I bring this up constantly in regards to like, don't let your feet lead you in your shape. This is what I'm talking about. When your feet are leading you, you're going to get caught with your body momentum taking you negative. And you're not going to be able to react. However, if your feet are behind and your upper body is leading you, you're going to be able to adjust. And even if you go negative, you're still going to be able to get coverage.
Yeah. You can see that she's doing what you're saying. Like her feet are behind a bit. She's leaning forward. If I just kind of click through here, like her shoulders start rising up and now her feet are kind of getting in the lead here where she's getting very close to getting straight up. And that's why this ball kind of blows by her. You know, I wouldn't say that's necessarily a bad goal, but like for a number one, it's like,
no, that's a good goal. That's a well hit ball.
I think that's,
you don't think so?
I'd say,
okay.
It was power, but it's such a sharp angle. I mean, that's just off her shoulder there. Like there's no footwork needed. It's just a paw to get over there.
But again, because she's leading with her feet there. That's why that happens. And you're right. If she was leading forward, and again, guys, we're nitpicking to the nth degree, but you know, the difference is, you know, I mean, take a Christiana Endler in her prime, you know, does that save happen?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to shoot for best in the world, like I think that saves, that have to be no question about it. I'm going to throw up two more here. So we've got a short corner here, some nice little play here. They play out. This ball gets sent in back post. And I think this is like the lack of sophistication. We saw a lot of plays today where someone's thinking plan B, plan C. And she's done well up to this point. She's moved fine. But as this ball gets here, it's kind of like, well, I hope this works out. You know, it's like, I don't really know what the plan is there. She doesn't react till the ball passes her. You know, I get the starfish approach. Don't hate it. Don't love it. Don't hate it. But she doesn't release anything till that ball is like past her. And that ball is well within the six. Do I think she can get it? I don't know, but she's just letting this drop here. I mean, that ball's getting in deep. That's 4 yards from goal. And she's just kind of standing there like, I don't know what I'm going to do. If she's going to spread for that starfish, like it needs to be happening now, not getting there and responding to it. I know it's a tough play because visually, you know, that's off her back shoulder. So she doesn't quite know what's going on there. But she has to know, okay, worst case scenario, like someone's running at this. Like, I have to have something planned for this.
I think she thought that the ball could be brought down too, as opposed to hit directly. So that might be why she delayed her starfish until.
Yeah. Well, she's pretty surprised on the play. She does not expect this to be hit at that time. That's why she, as the ball's passing her, she's like, oh, like I need to do something.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so much a bad goal for me. Like, even if she starfishes on that, I think that's probably still a goal. But I think for me, the problem is like, if you're ever watching a goalkeeper get into a spot where they aren't quite sure what they should be doing, like, that's a bit concerning. Even though this play is really rare, this type of play where the ball drops inside the six and you can't go get it like that, that's rare. But still, like, that's not, if you're going to be number one in the world, like, that's not excusable for any goalkeeper to get caught yourself in the spot where you're like, I don't really know what to do here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, It's a tough one right there. I mean, for sure. In regards to, like, I will to give her the credit right there. Like, that is that's a solid striker finish right there.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with
right across the body.
I don't have a problem with the goal scored, but like that's just weird positioning there. Like that's something. Well,
she's a little too far over. I think she.
Yeah, it's tough because I'm fine with the positioning there where she is. I think it's just a body shape. She's very high up and she clearly doesn't know what she wants to do here. You know,
she got caught in the middle for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
I think we've all been there. I think we've all, especially in a ball like this, come across and realized we don't know what we want to do. We always talk about intention, right? And having intention. And I don't think there was an intention before she tried to make an action.
Well, and for me, it's like, are we going to grade her off like best in the world or top NWSL goalkeeper? Or are we going to grade her off as like just another goalkeeper? Like if it's just another goalkeeper, hey, you know, it's a tough play. Like, okay, fine. Hey, if you're going to be vying for like a top spot, like that for me, like it's inexcusable to not have a plan to execute there, whether you saved or not. Like you have to have something picked out there.
So. Well, look, you also have to recognize the fact that like when she won player of the year in Europe in UEFA and the Golden Glove and everything like that, it was based on team performances too. It was not just based off individual statistics.
Yeah.
So you have to recognize that a lot of those accolades were not just because, you know, it's not like she was playing at, you know, some random team that was getting destroyed, you know, left-hander or international team, you know, that was like, you know, finishing in a fourth place finish. Like she was like on the top Euro winner, you know, she was on a top WSL team and all of that was leading to those awards. So
she got the English bump. It was like, oh, you play for England. Okay. Like times 10 on the votes, you know? So,
yeah.
Well, wait, I have
not like playing for Chile.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult. I have one more clip. I'm going to skip that because we beat her up enough here. Be very curious to see where she develops. But I have two clips that I don't really have a narrative for. I just thought they were great saves. So I'm going to show them. I can kind of just walk through. But this is the sort of stuff that I think when we start talking about intentionality and blueprint and kind of plan B, plan C, you start to see it in these plays here. So I got one from AD here. Is this French? I think as the first shot, you see this and you're like, okay, like she saved up to the top left here. Like, what's the big deal? It's a shot from distance. As I went back and watched this, you'll see the deflection here. And it's not the biggest deflection, but it catches her and that ball comes back over her left. And so France now has to take a shot that's like pretty much at her. Now it's going to go back to her left side. And it's not a huge redirection there. I understand that. But I think if I'm just being honest, I've seen this goal scored a lot where it clips off someone just enough.
Oh, yeah.
And that slips in. So again, you look at it from distance, you're like, well, that shot's from like almost 25 out. What's the big deal? But knowing like how difficult that can be, like, and that's a testament to French's athleticism. Like that's a big time save there. That's one where the striker's like, oh, I thought I was going to get gifted on one there off the post as well. So that's a really fun save.
Yeah. I think that's also one of those things where it's like, AD is obviously a veteran goalkeeper who's been around forever. And she is not getting past the moment. She's completely focused on that ball. And until the action is completed, she's not done with it. So it's not like strike is hit. It's coming at me. Great. I'm going to handle it. No, it's like, let me see this all the way through. And that's why she's able. And I think the goalkeepers that are able to improvise within the moment, and I'm a big fan of improvisation within the moment, are the ones that don't get ahead of themselves.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. All right. So last save here, and we've already talked about Hot from earlier. This whole play is kind of wild. I think I'm still not quite sure what actually happens here. So it's a save. I don't love the rebound, but she gets up here. You'll watch on the replay. It kind of, I think it hits on the bottom part of her wrist on that ball that comes from the second shot. So the first one's a little tricky. You know, she's laying out. I'd like to either see that get pushed farther wider or for her to hold it. However, I think the having the wherewithal again to like see this and be like, okay, I need to get up here. And just to kind of click through, I'm pretty sure this clip's under her her wrist where she like drops her wrist down and puts like backspin on it to keep it out of the goal. And I don't think that was totally intentional, is be my guess. I think she's just like, I got to get something on it. I think she's currently upside down at that point in the play. And so it's kind of a hectic play. You talk about improving, you know, like this is a good example where like a play has broken down. And as a coach, you can kind of train this sort of moment of like, you know, rebound, get up. But to think of like, okay, how do I cover the goal, of which right now she's covering none. She's literally out of the goal shape here. But she comes in, it starts to sell her body, and she doesn't just freeze her body. She has a reaction to drop her hand there. You know, like that's a crazy save, like rolls over on herself. Like that's just a fun moment to watch of like, and then she gets up again for like the potential third shot. You know, like, I don't know. You see a lot of goalkeepers just kind of like give up on the player or have no idea what to do. You know, this is just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. You know, I'm not horrible. The intention again on the steer on that initial shot is not bad. I think if she could get it again, she would have tried to put a little bit more power behind that steer to play it a little bit farther out. However, she's not fully behind that ball, so she's not able to get that full steer into the ball. Yeah. And I think that's what leads to that spill in that space. But she is able to come up and recover and cover that gap quick enough to be able to sell that space right there. I agree. I can't tell you how many times, especially in the youth game, where that initial steer is made and the second the player gets up, it's already in the back of the net because they're like, they're not within the play anymore. They're like, I made my action. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
You know, you can't teach that. That's just instinctual. Yeah.
No, for sure. And I think, I mean, she's trying to do a lot in the play. Like you can see that she's calling out to put pressure on the ball, but I feel pretty confident she sees that runner on the left side, but also there's another one that ends up taking the shot. So she's trying to think about all this sort of stuff. Like I think that might contribute to her not really being able to steer totally correctly and with confidence. But at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's one of those like, what are you going to do in the next play sort of thing? Like, are you going to give up and be like, you know, like they got me on that one, or I did my job. It's like, no, you see it all the way through, like you're saying about French. So yeah, two fun saves for me. I don't really have a narrative for those. I just really enjoyed them. And I think they kind of got overlooked from the last.
Bill, question for you real quick, as we're watching Mandy Hott right there and everything like that. Just kind of want to talk about some of the teams that are struggling in the league right now. And I use that term loosely because, you know, that bottom tier of the league is pretty jam packed with a lot of 7 points, 6 points, 5 points, 9 points, all that sort of thing. And then you got kind of the cream of the crop up at the top or whatever. Like, what do those goalkeepers in the lower tier right now need to do to help improve their teams get up? And honestly, I don't think they can get up. I think the elites are kind of separating themselves. You know, we're already looking at and seeing that, you know, Portland, which started off slow, is now looking like a contender.
I mean, I'm just looking at the standings right now. You got from bottom to top, Utah, Seattle, Houston, and you got Hott, Ivory, and Campbell. And I think probably the the thread there for me is to get your team to concede less shots. The shot stopping wise from all three of those goalkeepers, and you throw Dickey in there as well, it's like, yeah, I think we're fine. I think you're in a good spot shot stopping wise. But can you connect with your team? Can you connect with your left back, your right back, or maybe you've got a rookie center back or whatever it is, or maybe you're playing the 3-5-2 like in Houston is. Like,
I wouldn't be surprised that if Houston is like that Jane Campbell's averaging like 6 saves a game.
Yeah. Well, like, like the shot stopping wise, like all of them are doing well, you know, but it's, can you get your team to concede less shots?
That's what I'm saying. Is like that you should not have a goalkeeper that's averaging 6 saves a game.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's not good.
You know, I mean, unless you want to be Keylor Navas in Costa Rica in the World Cup in 2014. So
yeah, you know, and that's tough because it's, as a goalkeeper, it's frustrating because you know, okay, like this isn't really on me. You know, it's not my responsibility that my center back keeps messing up or whatever. Like, but if you can get out of that mindset and think, okay, yeah, it's not my fault. However, can I help my team? Can I help them, you know, do a little bit better here? You know, like if I'm looking at it right now, both those three teams I just named, they have 17 and 19 goals conceded. but also Kansas City's in second with 15 goals conceded. So, like, you know, it's not – if you can get your team to kind of, like, limit certain things so you can get other things. Like, if you're defending all the time, you're getting less chances to attack. But if you start defending less, like, you're getting more chances to attack. So it's tough because they're not robots. It's not PlayStation where you're controlling. Like, I get that. However, if there's something you recognize that your right back, left back, or whatever, like, can help the team, you know, that's where you have to start looking to put your resources in and still also doing a good job. And that's why I kind of like the last clip from Hot, where she's trying to get pressure on the ball. She doesn't want a shot from an open shot from top of the 18 inside the 18. Like, she wants them to step, but, you know, you've got to make sure you're putting enough resources into the team aspect, but also without devaluing the main objective of goalkeeping, which is always, well, is going to be shot stopping unless there's, like, a massive rule change or something.
So I mean, in regards to all of that, first off, a couple things. One is that, like, and this is something I was a culprit of in younger in my career. And as I got older, you know, got better at it, is recognizing that, like, there's a time to communicate and there's a time to focus on the action at hand, focus on the play at hand. I think that Mandy did a great job there in regards to, like, this. I want to manipulate the shot to be in an area where I'm going to leave myself successful. So, like, this is where I want you to slide so that when that shot does happen, we're in a situation to be able to handle that the best. I think that's the best way to communicate with your back line. That being said, and this is something that Tim McQueen told me, he says, you have to recognize the strengths and weaknesses of your back line, and you have to communicate and organize based on that, not based on concept of what you think would be the right decision in that play. If you know you got a player, they're not that great on that right, you don't want to force them on that right, right? You don't want to put them in that situation. You'd rather have that player slide it in interior so that they're strong on that left covering. So
yeah, and it's tough because it's like peer to peer at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if there's an age gap, but for you to be like, hey, I'm gonna tell you what to do. I know a lot of goalkeepers struggle to do that at any level. However, like, I mean, I think of, like, maybe a more tangible example is, like, if you've got a left back that, you know, they're just out of control when they do 1v1 defending, they get in too involved and they either get beat or foul, like, your communication to that player has to be more of, like, getting them to calm down, to not overplay their hand, you know, like, whereas your right back, if they're kind of sluggish, but, like, you know, they have the skill set to do something, like, you know, you're going to coach them, talk to them, communicate to them differently. So it's a tough ask, and it's something that's not really worked on a lot of times with goalkeepers, but, like, obviously it's very, very important. So that was a good question, but it's much easier said than done for all the things we just kind of named.
Yeah. Goalkeeping's hard, guys. It's hard.
Very hard. Yeah. And it only gets harder the higher up you get. I've loved watching, I love watching the league this year. I've been following it for years, obviously, but finding these random saves from French and Hot, and finding these, looking into the spread stuff. Like, I think the league is in a really exciting spot with goalkeeping at the moment. So it's been kind of a treasure trove for me, of just seeing, like, all these little things of, you're seeing a healthy amount of improv, you're seeing a healthy amount of intentionality. It's only going to get better. So, yeah, a lot of fun. That wraps up episode 3 of Gloves Off, and we'll see if Michael's allowed back up on the podcast here. If Saskia is going to fight you off for it, I think
she's, you know, she's got another. She's had 2 games back to back. She had Angel City, San Diego last night. She's got North Carolina and Houston tonight. So if you guys are listening to this or watching this right now, check that out tonight. And then she's going to be coaching TST, but next couple of weeks she's going to be around. So, maybe I'll slip in that week that she's at TST coaching that Angel City team. So are you gonna watch that TST, by the way, Bill?
I don't know if I could avoid it. I feel like it's everywhere. I forgot it existed, and it's been blowing up on anything I get on. It's like TST. I'm just like,
it's not that far from you. You should go.
Oh, is it out this way?
It's in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Maybe it's at Cary.
Yeah, maybe I'll venture down. I didn't know that. Okay, all right.
Yeah, you should go. It's in Cary, North Carolina. So
yeah, that'd be fun.
If you want media passes through us, let me know.
I'll see. I'm in real time trying to think about this, so you've put me on the spot. But yeah, I'll take a look. We'll see what we can
there's,
do.
There's some interesting teams there on both the men's side and the women's side. I believe sure. JJ Watt is going to play for Burnley.
Oh, good. that'll be something. That'll be something. Yeah.
There's some circuses on the men's side. That's for sure.
Yeah.
On the women's side, they seem like pretty competitive teams, though. So
no, it'll be good. It's a fun level, but it's also a competitive level. And the way they structure the winner in each game, like I think that helps a lot. And you can't just kind of skate out a win. You have to score the winning goal in every game. So.
Oh yeah, I love that. I love that. Like the expected. What is it called? Like the goal. Whatever it's called, where you have to hit a certain amount of goals or something like that. Yeah.
I forget. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun though.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, that's it for Gloves Off this week. So we'll kick back next week with our regular time and showing. So we'll see you then. But until then, we'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Later.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.